Hello, everyone. Welcome to Metanorn's Mini Talk on All Noah Zero. I'm Jero, joined by Faux Shizzle.
Hey, what's up?
And Skyline.
Hello.
And we are talking about the Core One finale of All Noah Zero in episode 12, Childhood's End, which, Sky, apparently that's a book that was written by a person.
Arthur C. Clarke, not Isaac Asimov. I thought we had a connection to the Asimov computer system that the Cataphraxes use. Oh, well, you know.
Huh.
Arthur C. Clarke, Isaac Asimov, what's the difference? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, sci-fi fans. Don't say anything harsh to me.
Yeah, I don't really know of Asimov. Would he apply in any sense? Is his style, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess unless the Cataphrax or AI control, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's talk about episode 12 here. It was the big finale and the big shock that I think a lot of us were looking forward to. But first, we get into the battle between Inaho and Sawsbomb. It kind of seems crazy that, you know, we've seen as powerful as Dioscuria is and Inaho going up against it, but during the battle, and it helped Inaho that they moved into close quarters, that stayed away from the outside. That was the big thing. But when you see what Dioscuria has, it's basically kind of all the things that he's went against before. Now it's very different. You can't use the same tactics, but seeing that, okay, he's got a beam, and then he's got the same armor. Like, it's one of those things that the culmination of those battles in the season led to this big battle where we see Inaho kind of employ the tactics that were used before to, you know, basically handle Sawsbomb with relative ease.
And yeah, I was surprised.
And apparently by making his mecha wink at him.
That was funny. Yeah, he winked at him. Yeah. That's almost like, you know, kind of being a little cocky about it, like, grass.
That seems like a cheesy mecha thing to do in the show. Yeah, it almost seems that way.
It almost seems like an action movie trope thing, too. It's like, you get like a thumbs up before an explosion goes off, you know, before they do the final blow on the villain.
but is it in line with Inaho when you get right down to it? Is that, like, the best way he could possibly express himself, being the expressionist person that he is? Is that, like, the least little bit he'll give?
He can only express himself via robot.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, like, when you said, when Sawsbomb got his mech in close quarters combat, I was like, yeah, he's screwed. Someone, you know, some machine that big, it can't always move around those little tight corners like that, and he will get owned. Like you said, it helps that he's fought all these robots up to the point here where they all have, like, the shield, the arms, the beam saber. And he's had all that experience. So it's pretty interesting to see how he used all that. But like you said, it's kind of one-sided since he's fought all that before.
Yeah. Overall, the battle, it was okay. It didn't really stand out anything. It wasn't incredible or anything like that. More, you know, comparable to the battles that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Hopefully in Core 2 there's something a little more exciting in terms of action.
I think my only complaint on that scene would be it's all, like, so close shot. Like, you can't really see the actual fight itself.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of, like, Transformers, one of the movies, did the same thing where you have these robots fighting each other, but you can't see anything. You're up so close, you can't see what's actually going on. So maybe that scene was, like you say, it was kind of, I hope there's improved scenes maybe next half.
They kind of get too big for their britches in some of the shots, don't they?
Hopefully the Earthlings can come up with some flying mech or whatever.
Right.
But meanwhile, there's some stuff going there. They bring Salem there to activate the All-Noah technology, and there's a number of smaller things. We see Slain, he gets up there. We kind of expected that, but we also saw Red get there, which we kind of questioned a little bit, and I don't think we exactly see that Red rides with Slain, which is kind of the way I think we talked about last episode, where that seemed logical. But she didn't really even play that much of a factor other than shooting that military guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of, was that like defending her turf or defending a person she named as an ally in that particular moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some there's scenes that I feel like were missing there.
The Martian characters that seem to have any sort of empathy for anyone of Earth standing, or who are sympathetic with Earth or are connected to that, seem to be having a wild card status in some way, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe there's some link with the princess between Slane and Rhea. We saw that Rhea is now supporting the princess, and maybe there's a conversation there with Slane. But as far as her, that's about it. With Slane, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
And oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and just quickly recap that ending. He shoots at Sawsbomb. We believe that Sawsbomb will, I guess, eventually pass. And then Sawsbomb, but before that, Sawsbomb shoots the princess. We see her bleed out. And then Slane sees Inaho crawling toward her. And Slane shoots Inaho. And we're left with the Core 1 finale with Inaho and Salem shot seemingly to death.
To death.
Yeah, it definitely did shock me a bit. I mean, we've seen the princess, they try to kill her several times in the series. She comes back. And, even before that, Inaho was kind of hurt during the fight with Sawsbomb. And so he's bleeding into his, typical shonen above the forehead thing. So there's blood in his eyes, so he can't see anything. So he doesn't really see who shoots Princess. And like you said, he's crawling to her and he gets shot. And it's like, oh, it's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then Slane's freaking out. He's screaming. And it's like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that much death in.
Yeah.
In
same here.
I know a lot of people go, "Oh, Urobuchi again," but again, first three episodes maybe presented some kind of guideline, but
right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I believe that too.
He still has series composition to his credit, so he was the guy that described the beats.
All right, so. We've talked about this before with Salem dead or not dead, but let's go ahead and put a probability of survival for Salem.
I would say probably 50% on her. I could see it being some silly cheesy thing where Slane, takes her away, and then gets the bullet out and he's waiting for her to recover, but she's in some coma or some crap like that.
Mm-hmm. Sky.
That seems a probable way to write themselves out of that particular cliffhangery sort of ending. I could entertain the fact of 0% survival rate being carried on in spirit only as the next core starts up from there. I mean, her supposed death started the war. What will her real death start?
More war.
that's there, but there are other options too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go a little higher than Fosh here with 60. It's all Noah magic, as I'll go ahead and call it, seems to be the one thing that definitely can keep her alive and maybe keep Inaho alive. But what is his survival probability? I got to think zero.
Yeah, I think zero because I think it was clearly a headshot that took him out. And not a spoiler, but even the close to end stuff saying that a year passed or whatever, however time gap they use, and they both said in the thing that they haven't found the princess or Inaho's body, so it's like it's kind of up in the air. But yeah, I think Inaho is probably, I can think it's confirmed dead.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, but it's going to take a spot. That's the question.
Anything more than zero?
No, actually, I prefer zero because I think it would add some sort of weight to the drama that's upcoming. That makes the most sense because, you can't just keep on pulling people away from death just for the sake of killing them for drama's sake and then bringing them back. Mm-hmm. Marvel Comics does it all the time. DC Comics does it all the time. But, let's have a character death mean something for a change.
Yeah. And I had talked about last week how I was talking about, finding the right people to kill. But Inaho is kind of an interesting character in that way because he is... he is the sort of smartest guy that we've seen on the show, and he employed the most interesting tactics in battle and stuff, but there's not there's not really any kind of emotional connection that we, the viewer, have to him, other than the fact that he's this character that gets the Earthlings out of trouble so much. Mm-hmm. So I would be interested to see what the show would be like moving on without him. Like, who who could potentially step in? I would think it would be Slane that would really step into that main character role in the second core.
Yeah.
There's some ideas revolving around that as well, too.
Yeah, I could see Slane maybe shouldering the most of the plot of next season. Because, you know, he's going to realize, because it's just like Southbomb, how he said he had someone he loved that got killed, and it was because his own people did it. It almost feels the same with him, with, you know, his relationship with Asylum. Like, he's going through the same thing that Southbomb went through. So he's probably going to start realizing that, yeah, Southbomb's onto something about, you know, taking over Earth. So maybe Slane could be the new villain of the series. I would like, that'd be kind of interesting to see that.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like an anti-hero.
Yeah, it'd be like that Code Geass for me, where Lelouch, you know, he always borders lines between doing good and doing bad. So it's kind of like, you know, you can almost see like he's an anti-hero, but I'm concerned who's going to be the main, you know, focus on the Earth side. Like, literally, is going to be Slane's, right, Inho's sister? You know, will Rayet step up and be the main character of the Earth side? Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Sky.
That's okay. Both of those possibilities that you lay out, Fosh, have a lot of potential for good stories because it helps evolve the characters considerably more. That is something I'd like to see. I'd also like to see what they kind of had at the very first episode. I'd like to see the Orbital Knights fraction. Actually, really fraction up. And not just in like an even split, but several little factions just kind of come out and try to vie for either supremacy over everyone else or fight for their own causes or their own agendas, as we've seen. And then have that spread back to Varys itself because, like, you know, like I said, there's that whole Count Crutejo and Slane's father thing that they've not yet explored.
Yeah. And then there's also the idea of what the story focuses on in the second core and how that affects the theme and the perspective that we're supposed to view it at. We kind of see Slane right now not exactly in the bad guy main villain position, but of one that's he's a little conflicted, it can seem, and he's not exactly the good guy. He only cares about the princess. Where, like what Fosh mentioned, he could kind of turn into the villain. But if they continue to focus on the Earthlings, who steps up in that main role?
Mm-hmm.
Or does anybody really?
And it's also the question of how big of a time gap are we going to look here? Are we going to jump to, like, you know, like One Piece did it, what, 4 or 3 years time skip, which is kind of huge. But as on those year goes, like, you know, are we going to see a time skip where it's, you know, Earth's been overtaken by the Martians, so you have like a small group of Earthlings that have to become the rebel team in Star Wars to take on the Martians, like, so, you know, or are we going to see something like, oh, just a year, and they're still fighting? And also what Skyline was saying, the Orbital Knights, who's going to take Sazbomb's spot as, you know, the one we're supposed to hate besides Slane, like you said, who, you know, he's confused at the end of the episode. You know, Asylum gets killed from him, and he takes his revenge out on Inho. So it's like he's definitely changed than what he used
and
to be.
I think with the exception of Rey Regalia, we've not seen any more of those Orbital Knights. So we know that they're all dead, apparently including Crutejo. So we're going to see a whole new cast of those characters, most likely.
And they have to get back to Mars, obviously, to confront the Emperor if he's, you know, if he's all there, or was he under some hypnotic spell because of Sazbomb? You know, with Sazbomb dead, we'll maybe wake the Emperor, we wake up, you know, figure out what's going on. I don't know, we'll see.
All right, so we're halfway through Alnoa Zero. How do you guys feel about the way this first core played out?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much straightforward. We had, you know, the Mars people invading Earth. We got to defend Earth, save it, and and you have Inho, he's kind of the cliche mech, for me anyway, he was, as, you know, he figures everything out before everyone else does, solves it, and is able to complete his mission. And yeah, I think it did pretty good. The shock factor is really good. I like the all the amazing shocks they had up to this point. And I guess mystery of the Alno power. I'm curious about that. And I guess soundtrack wise is, you know, for me it was real good.
Oh yeah. I think it was my favorite of this season.
Yeah, same.
This guy.
I'll go ahead and vote the Glass Lip OST as one of my favorites. But you know, I like the complexity they set up about what it takes to fight a war. They had two interesting moments right next to each other where Sazbomb, well, okay, I'll go back a little bit, where Inaho basically more or less said, yeah, you can hate someone, you can be angry at someone, but war is an extension of politics. It's about land, it's about economy, it's about trade, it's about all those different things. And then it kind of dials that into the complexity that Sazbomb has about, yeah, our people are starving. But then he kind of goes into that thing, you know, you don't understand. We've been indoctrinated to hate you. And then I went, wait a sec. If you realize you've been indoctrinated to hate someone, you know, there's your break right there. But, you know, he didn't apply the brakes. He just went full speed. And yeah, that's a little bit of a complex bit. That's a crunchy bit right there that I hope they continue to explore, because that's what got my hooks going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's good how they employed it to, like, they mentioned it, they talked about it, and they were direct in talking about it, but they never bopped us over the head over time. They never really threw it in our faces like, hey, this is the main theme of All Noah Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. And just the general process of the season, because for a very long time it was Mecha of the Week, or Mecha of the 2 weeks in this case. And in that, they were still able to work on these stories and these little bits and about the war and about character relations. The dynamic between Inaho and Slain, two characters that had never met until the final scene of this core, was really interesting to kind of talk about. And I thought that was a fitting way for them to meet in, you know, sort of the final desperation.
Yeah, I would even go as far as say, you know, in my eyes, I don't consider Al Knows You a hardcore mecha show.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the characters, and, you know, a lot of shows with mechs don't really do that very well. They're always focused on the robots, like you said, Robot of the Week. But this one is more of a character drama. You see, like you said, you know, Inaho and Slain, exact opposites, and they don't even meet face to face. They meet that one time. And they still, you can see they still won't, no matter what happens, they still won't get along. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a while it was real mech versus fantasy mech. The Mars, the Orbital Knights, All Noah Technology, amazing things they can do. Whereas that stuff is, that the Earthlings were using, maybe we'll see that in many years down the road.
Space magic versus Earth machine science. Like,
It has its precedence in real warfare. Orcs drift. The Zulus were able to just overwhelm them with conventional weapons because, for the most part, they had machine guns that weren't working all that well.
Yeah, say even real world, you know, like we have better technology. You're 10-1 odds you're going to win if you have better stuff than the other team. But yeah,
other factors can come into play: overwhelming forces, environment that you're not used to fighting.
Yeah, weather. Yeah.
I mean,
that's why the Mars people lost, because they're in the snow. They're not used to that.
All right, so that has been our mini talk on All Noah Zero, episode 12, the end of Core 1. As hopefully you saw at the very end, and as we already knew for a while, Core 2 will be coming in January 2015. Hopefully, we'll be back then to continue talking about All Noah Zero.
Unless the Martians really come to life and they, you know, attack us during that time. And, I think we're screwed. But I don't know an Inaho in real life. Oh no. I would say the last thing I would say is rest in peace, Princess, if you're dead. You're a cool character, you know. But Raid, I think, is going to be taking your spot.
Or El Rito, whichever.
Ooh, El Rito. There you go. Princess El Rito.
There you go.
That sounds good.
Yeah, yes, he is next in line. Could be. So, again, thank you for listening. For Fosh, for Skyline, I'm Jero. We'll see you. Actually, before I go, Log Horizon is going to be our next anime talk. We talked what? About Log Horizon
the first season.
We're going to be going back in the database. That's right. Whoa.
Yeah, I wish I could sing. I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that. Probably thinking up some other stuff too. We'll announce that.
Hentai mini talks. That's what we're gonna do next. So hot. I'm just, nah, we wouldn't know.
I shouldn't explain more, or else this would be an X-rated podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.